Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Codex Magica by Tex Mars, right after this. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. Now, Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. Now, the business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, John Swinton made that observation back in 1880. And these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order, the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and stop following after all these crazy scientists, the philosophers, the preachers, and the politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, call and order our free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that number is 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967 for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about Codex Magica by Tex Mars. Tex Mars, remember, is the author of 37 books on these same type of subjects, conspiracy. Sometimes people say, well, are you one of those conspiracy buffs? And then I say, yes, I am. I believe that there is a gigantic conspiracy operating worldwide to destroy the Earth, and in particular, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And they kind of look at you like, well, you're supposed to deny that. You know, most people, oh, no, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Well, I am. I'm going to raise my hand. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, an old-timey guy one time years ago, he said, the United States of America foreign policy has worked against our country and against our best interests every single time since World War II. And he said, if there wasn't a conspiracy, if this was not being orchestrated behind the scenes, once in a while, a foreign policy decision would be made that accidentally benefited our country. Just the law of averages would dictate it. And I said at that point, I said, I see your argument. I see your logic. And I often wondered, why is it that America and our Congress and our president can't balance our budget? I don't think we've had a balanced budget in this country since, oh, God, maybe Eisenhower balanced it one year or something like that. Now, that's not an accident. The people who are running our country are multimillionaires. These people like John Kerry, you know, Senator John Kerry, he's married to a woman who is the heiress to the Heinz family. Heinz. You know, Heinz ketchup? John Kerry's got a lot of money. His wife's got a lot of money. These people are occultists. These people are Masons. These people belong to secret societies and organizations. These are not the dullards. These aren't the bag ladies under bridges, for crying out loud. These aren't the dummies that are driving truck and putting wiring in the wall. You know, guys like you and me. Now, you might have a problem balancing your family budget, and you might be spending over your head because maybe you only went to the 12th grade or something. And you could say, well, my excuse is I'm just kind of ignorant and I'm not too bright. But John Kerry's no dummy. Ted Kennedy's no dummy. George Bush is no dummy. These people are all multimillionaires. Now, they're spending America into bankruptcy, and they've got a reason. They've got a purpose for doing that. They're not doing that accidentally. You're not being led by a bunch of dumb bumpkins that can't find the wall with both hands at high noon. These guys are doing this intelligently, intentionally, with purpose and premeditated forethought. That war in Iraq, that's not an accident. That's being executed just exactly the way these people want to execute it. Now, you and I can sit here and say, well, it's dumb, and we shouldn't be involved in that, and we ought to get out of there. I agree. I don't think we should be there either. But we're not there for no good reason. And the people that are conducting that war, the Nancy Pelosi's, Bill Clinton's and George Bush's, they're all working hand in glove with one another. And so this guy, Tex Myers, puts this whole story together. It's called Codex Magica. And these people are occultists. George Bush Sr. is a witchcraft purveyor, and so is Bill Clinton. And the two of them work hand in glove with AIDS packages, doing humanitarian work. Jimmy Carter, goes around with Habitat for Humanity. He's one of them. He's one of the insiders. He's one of the elitists, as Tex Myers calls them. And so, as a layman, I'm just a reporter. I'm just down here at the bottom of the barrel, like all the rest of us, all the rest of you and me. And we're looking around here. Why is the world running the way it is? So I asked the question. I said, why do these Illuminists act the way they act? Why are they behaving and performing this way? Well, they've got a goal. They've got a guy that they're working for. And they have a goal. They are in the process of taking over the world. That's what they're in the business of doing. And they're working for a guy named Satan. And it's Satan, the prince of the power of the air, who wants to thwart and to prevent the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to identify this God of the Bible. That the religious guys, now you got these religious boys, like Jerry Falwell, he comes along, and he's a false flag artist. He picks up the Bible, and Billy Graham picks up the Bible, and Schuller, the Glass Cathedral guy out in California, I don't know his first name, but Schuller, the Glass Cathedral guy. These are 33rd degree Masons, along with Billy Graham. They pick up the Bible, and then they lie about it. And they twist it and warp it, and they give misinformation. And then, like the Pope, back in the Middle Ages said the world is round. He said the world is flat. The Bible says the world is round. The Bible is scientifically accurate. But you see, when these big religious muckety-mucks go around telling you the world is flat, and then later on we find out, hey, the world is actually round, then it casts a black eye upon God who wrote the Bible, because we then assume that the Pope must have got that out of the Bible. So therefore, the Bible is inaccurate. It's scientific junk. And I've heard religious guys say, well, the Bible isn't a scientific book. They're called apologists, and they're apologizing for God and his ineptness. And I've looked in the scripture, and I've looked at the scientific statements in the scripture, and there are dozens of scientific statements in the Bible. I think the Bible is, in fact, a science textbook. It is full of science. Well, not to the exclusion of other things, but there's a tremendous amount of science in there, and it's all accurate. And it was all written thousands of years ago. You take Jonah and the whale. That's a scientific story. It has been duplicated since then. Did you know that? Has anybody ever reported that to you, that it was duplicated in 1940? Just thought I'd throw that one out there for you. But then, we get this bad information, and we get the bad information from the people we trust the most, the religious community. And these guys are 33rd degree Masons. Let me give them to you again. Remember, Jerry Falwell, 33rd degree. Billy Graham, 33rd degree. And Norman, I think it's not Norman Vincent Peale, is it? Norman Schuller? This is the Schuller guy out in California. 33rd degree Mason. These guys pack Bibles into their arms. At the 33rd degree, boys and girls, they know full well that they're working for Satan the devil, the arch rival of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so that's what deception is all about. There's a little truth there, and there's a little deception there, and then the ultimate conclusion is error. So Tex Myers, in the book, Codex Magica, is showing us, well, who are these guys, and what is their motive? What are these guys up to? And can we take their masks off? The answer is, you bet. So he came up with 12 words. He says, we need to look at their secrecy, their magic, their building, their power, their pride, elitism, signals, and wealth, their motive to please their master Satan, the invocation to encourage and rebellion, 12 words. And so we're up to encourage. One of the words that Tex Myers says, we take a look at this and it'll tell us what these people are up to. What's Ted Kennedy, Dianne Feinstein, George Bush, Norman Vincent Peale, and Billy Graham, and Jerry Falwell, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. What do all of these people have in common? The thing that they all have in common is that they're occult. They're occultists. They practice witchcraft, and they all know that they're witches and practice witchcraft, and they all have a master, Satan the devil, and they're working their hearts out for it. I don't know if you knew that before, but Tex Mars said, well, let me give you that report. And so I took a look at it, and I said, well, gee, let me review this book, and if you'd like to get a copy of it, which I highly recommend, why don't you go down to Barnes & Noble, tell me I'd like a copy of it. Now, if this is on their banned book list, which oftentimes you'll go in and you'll look for a book, and you can't find it. It can be old, it can be out of print, or it can just be on the banned book list, and you can't buy it at the major bookselling stores. This one, if you can't get it there, you can get it at the Brave New Bookstore. That's www.bravenewbookstore.com. BraveNewBookstore.com. BraveNewBookstore.com. Or if you're in Austin, Texas, you can go down to the store itself. It's at 1904 Guadalupe in Austin, Texas. And I got a phone number down there. It's 866-516-6623. Again, that's 866-516-6623. Now, these underground press books, books that you can't find anywhere else, they'll have them there or they can get them. So if you've got some off-the-wall book that you're trying to find, you know, like heraldry, or you're trying to find the protocols of the learned elders, or you know, whatever it might be, and you can't find it anyplace else, that's the place to go. BraveNewBookstore.com. Well, we're up to encourage. Now listen to this. Mars points out that the frequency of the higher level elite conveying occultic messages by way of hand signs, arm gestures, body postures, and similar means encourages their lesser disciples. It reassures them that they're part of a cohesive and a unified whole, members of a distinctive body of powerful and influential world movers and shakers. I'm going to pause right there. These 3,000 members of the groups like the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, these 3,000 people are not selected. And get this, Tom Brokaw is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Or at least he was at one time. He's retired now from NBC. I don't know whether he still is. I imagine he probably is. Now, I don't know about Katie Couric, but her predecessor, Dan Rather, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. You can rest assured that he's a Freemason, and you can rest assured that he's a 30th or 31st or 2nd or 3rd degree. Now, remember what John Swinton said back in 1880? John Swinton said, there's no such thing as a free and independent press in America. And that follows the protocols of the learned elders. No such thing as a free and independent press. If you think you're getting the straight skinny from Katie Couric, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy, partner. It ain't coming from Katie. Sweet thing that she is. You know, cheerleader, you know, God, everybody loves Katie. Bottom line is that Katie Couric could not tell you the truth even if she knows what the truth is. And I'm not sure that she does or doesn't. I can't be that judgmental. I don't know what she knows or what she doesn't know. But she gives us the straight skinny that's delivered to her, and she reports on it. And most of what we get out of the press is just poppycock. Just nonsense. And next week I'll pick up the International Forecaster here. This week's, I just got the International Forecaster for Wednesday. Shocked me. We've got 3 carrier task forces over there in the Persian Gulf. That's war mode, kids. That's war mode. Now, I don't know how this thing is going to come out, but there's some bad vibes coming out of the Middle East. And remember, that's where the Battle of Armageddon gets fought. You ever heard that in Sunday school? Armageddon comes right out of the Middle East. And there's some bad things brewing over there, and I suspect that it's going to get worse. That's what I suspect. I'll report on that to you next week. But meanwhile, back here on the farm, asking the question, do these people actually know what they're doing? You bet they do. These guys aren't dumb. Dan Rather is nobody's dumbbell, kids. That man knows exactly what's going on. Exactly. Brian Williams, he knows what's going on. And that's the scary part, because these people have given their lives, their professions, to Satan the devil for the express purpose of thwarting the will of the creator of the universe, who says, I'm going to pay you suckers to your face. And I'm afraid there's a confrontation coming here, boys and girls, that's going to be very, very unpleasant. In fact, the God of the scripture says it's going to get so unpleasant that it's going to result in the destruction of 9/10 of humanity. So you take 6.5 billion people in the world, when this thing is all over, only 1/10 of them are going to be left alive. Now that's just about as nasty as it gets. In fact, the Messiah, this is sweet Jesus. Now remember his guy? Taint his real name, but that's what everybody knows him by. Anyway, sweet Jesus in Matthew 24 had an observation about that. He said, if I don't come back here and put a stop to this madness, there would no flesh be saved alive on planet Earth. Now, I don't know if he's talking just about no human beings left alive, or whether there would be no fish, there would be no animals, there would be no people, there would be no insects, there would be no bacteria left alive. Now, I don't know how far he meant to go with that statement, but I think that he certainly was speaking about all humans. Now, that's about as bad as it gets. Now, Tex Mars goes on in his analysis of why do these Illuminists, why do these Ted Kennedys and Dianne Feinsteins and George Bushes, why do they do this? Why are they acting this way? So we're up to encourage. And he says the frequency of the higher level elite conveying their occult messages by way of hand signs, hand arm gestures and body postures, and a similar means, it encourages the lesser disciples. It reassures them that they're part of a cohesive and unified whole, members of a distinctive body of powerful and influential world movers and shakers. Boy, they sure are. And it is an awesome feeling, no doubt, to find yourself in company with the aspiring and actual rulers of planet Earth. Naturally, for the lesser initiate, seeing the top depths displaying Masonic, Rosicrucian, OTO, and other signs and symbols in major propaganda and cultural organs such as TV, newspapers, magazines, the internet, books, public forums, also instills fear and dread. Fear and dread of what the organization, the powerful, as evidenced by its public display of its chief symbols to a profane, ignorant mass audience, might do to them if they ever should be so bold or so foolish as to damage its assets or reveal its secrets or to betray it. And you know, Tex Mars pointed that out. Now, there is something that can protect you. I mean, the God of heaven isn't deaf, dumb, and blind. The enemies of Daniel, for instance, they tried to kill him. And they threw him in a lion's den. And the lions didn't eat him. But the lions ate all of his enemies in the final analysis. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in a fire furnace. And the fiery furnace did not kill them. And they came out alive. And they were protected. Now, you know, you can't be thrown into a fiery furnace without dying. You've got to have some kind of supernatural. You've got to have some spiritual force back there that can save you alive out of that. Now, you could argue, well, the lions just weren't hungry. You know, we see people go into lions' dens with trained lions and so on. I kind of doubt that the lions in Daniel and the lion's den story were trained lions. I think that they were hungry. I think that they were there, kept at bay by Michael the archangel to protect Daniel. And then his enemies were thrown into the lion's den and they ate them all. Now, you know, you can sit there and laugh, or you can sit there and say, well, I don't believe it. Well, that's your choice in life. But here's the report. And that report is talking about supernatural powers. Now, there's two sides to the supernatural powers. Tex Mars is pointing out, you've got Satan over here. He's got supernatural powers. And these people like to display it. And every once in a while, you'll see a Houdini come along. Boy, that was pretty wild stuff. Some of it's card tricks, but some of it's real. Like the Ouija board I reported to you last time. That was real. My partner, Leo, he said, that thing really works. I said, yeah, Leona, that's an evil force. You're dealing with demons here. Are you really sure you want to do that? And people are mesmerized by that. They really see that. These rock metal stars, you know, oftentimes will admit that they are demon-possessed. That's why they put on those shows. That's demonism. Well, these people are pretty powerful, and they're running the world, and they're running the world for Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's about to be dethroned. He's about to lose his kingship, his rulership over the earth. The real owner of planet Earth is about to come back and kick his, you know what, off the pot. Now, there is here, naturally, for these lesser initiates, seeing the top adepts displaying all of this power, you know, there's a certain intoxicating factor that comes from that. I can see, you know, just picture this. If you were in the White House working for President Bush, you'd be right in there with the top echelons, wouldn't you? That'd be pretty heady, wouldn't it? There's an inevitability which is at once its horror and joy. Once an accepted disciple has definitely undertaken the work in preparation for initiation, there is for him no turning back. He couldn't turn back if he wanted to. Now, he has heard the voice of the Master. Occult obedience gives place to enlightened will. He can now be trusted to walk and work alone because he is unalterably one with the group, with the hierarchy, and finally with Shambhala. Shambhala, that's hell. Now, we see in use by the top ranks of the elite the carrot and stick approach. If the fledgling initiate strays from the fold, or worse, reveals any of its secrets of the brotherhood, he'll get the stick of punishment. But if he cooperates, he will be rewarded. He'll find himself in the enviable position of being lauded as a co-creator of the world of warning. See Fred Kleinnott, 33rd degree sovereign grand commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in March of 2002, in the Scottish Rite Journal, boasted of this creator role in an article entitled A Brave New World of Heroes. Kleinnott encourages Masonic disciples by emphasizing, one of the great lessons of the Scottish Rite is this: we do not inherit the world, we create it. Oh, brave new world that has such people in it. This line from Shakespeare's The Tempest seems particularly appropriate. In practicing magic by employing secret signs and sharing of covert handshakes, the use of power-attracting symbols, the use of hidden codes and other ritual means, the deceived initiate actually believes that he is helping to build that brave new world, a better world. Better, that is, for he and his magical associates.
He's working as a member of the group to alchemically break down and build back up society into a new world of things. He is, as we shall see, engaging in the rabbinic and Kabbalistic practice of Tikkun Olam, the repair and reconstruction of the world. Which takes us up to the last section on rebellion. Tex Myers goes on to say this last ingredient, or this last attribute to why the elitists do this is rebellion. The illumined elitist does not regard himself as a man, but rather as a god. And as such, he is in fact a rebel, engaged in rebellion against the one true God. Collectively, the elite fancy themselves to be God. How does a mere human being arrive at such an imagined, exalted state of existence? Well, Vera Stanley Alder, in her celebrated textbook, The Initiation of the World, writes this. She said, of once the Illuminist has been raised to become a unit within a great brotherhood, he progresses toward fusion and unity with the all-consciousness in this state. Man is no longer worshiping God, asking things of God, trying to become like God. He knows that he is God. He is. You know, us normal people down here at the bottom of the barrel, you know, if we get into trouble, we pray to God and we say, well, my wife has cancer, or I've lost my job. Father, would you please help me find another job? You know, little guys like us down here, we have to pray to God for favors. These people imagine themselves, these people actually believe they are gods. And with the kind of power that they wield, I guess that can kind of become pretty intoxicating. Flying around in Air Force One, defying Congress and everybody else around here that says, we think that war in Iraq is stupid. Especially after 9/11. If you haven't got these 9/11 CDs, what do they call them, DVDs, down here at the BraveNewBookstore.com, well, I just had a DVD come in here the other day, and it was on the Twin Towers, and they go through these Twin Towers and show that these Twin Towers are being imploded by explosives. Yeah, the airplanes flew into them, all right. And then about an hour later, they pushed the button and they imploded those buildings, and they fell down right into the basements. They fell straight down. They didn't fall over. They fell straight down. Just like they do, you know, when they explode them. And then that building, 40, the building number 7, 42 stories, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they pushed the button and the thing imploded. Here's the crazy part of it. Boys and girls, use your heads. It takes 6 weeks, minimum 6 weeks, to wire a building. I mean, when you got lots of workmen out here working, 6 weeks to wire that building to blow it down. They blew it down on the same day, September 11th, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the guy that owned it, his name is Stein Summer. Anyway, he said, well, we ordered it to be pulled. It was just too dangerous. It was just too dangerous, so we had to pull it. I saw that, and then some guys got to thinking about that and said, well, that thing had to be wired in advance. And if it was wired in advance, then they knew something was coming. Yeah, they knew something was coming. You bet they did. It's called a false flag operation, and it's part of this rebellion against God. We won't practice the Ten Commandments. We're not going to practice the laws of God. And the religious leaders, the Billy Grahams, the Jerry Falwells, and the Schulers and the Oral Robertsons, these evangelists, these top-notch, multimillionaire, the 33rd degree Satanists are telling you, you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. You can practice rebellion. You know, you can be a god yourself. These people actually think they're gods. I mean, they've got so much power and so much money, I guess it has just deranged their mental processes. Well, that's what they're telling us there. Well, hang on a second. I got to give you a little reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed to the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We're reviewing the book Codex Magica by Tex Mars. Well, then, here we find, Mars goes on to say, an arrogant expression of hubris, pride, and most of all, rebellion. Rebellion against God, against his truth, and against his people. The Illuminati are, in fact, revolutionaries, and their revolt has no rational cause. Jesus Christ noted, they hate me without a cause. The Illuminist strives for liberty and fulfillment of self-interest and will apart from God and apart from God's will. That is why this brotherhood of evildoers are rebels, opposers of good, colluders with any and all forms of apostasy. The propensity of the Illuminati to engage in rebellion against God, country, and even organized civilization itself is evidenced in the inner meaning of their centuries-old rallying cry, liberty, equality, fraternity. The esoteric meaning of which is liberty from the dictates of God, equality of all men only in death, and the unity of evildoers. Truly, the man who has taken vulgar and bloody oaths to defend the order and has vowed to protect its secrets against onslaught by would-be interlopers and intruders is not above killing those who oppose his ambitious personal goals or who stand in the way of the attainment of the objectives of the order of the Illuminati. Now, in Freemasonry, it is perfectly all right to kill someone. Consider the military trial of the Freemason Kabrinovic, assassin of the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria. A fateful event that touched off the deadly and fiery conflict of World War I. Kabrinovic's testimony at his trial provides us a graphic example of the rebellious spirit of the men and the secret societies and orders. When asked if he had conspired with other Freemasons to murder the Archduke and thus set off a saga of anarchy and mayhem throughout Europe, Kabrinovic told the military court, "Yes, I knew we were all Freemasons, and this strengthened my resolve. Freemasonry strengthened my intention. If in Freemasonry it is permitted to kill." "Ah, yes. In Freemasonry it is permitted to kill," testified the assassin Kabrinovic. How exquisitely truthful the man was as he sat in the witness chair being called to account for his horrific crime. When we examine the historical record of the world's most despicable mass murderers and revolutionaries, we find that almost all of them were members of Freemasonry and other secret societies of the Illuminati. Robespierre was a Freemason. Weishaupt was a Freemason. Napoleon Bonaparte was a Freemason. Lenin was a Freemason. Stalin, Mussolini, Truman, Roosevelt, Ariel Sharon, Bill Clinton, Fidel Castro, they're all Freemasons. Now, at his trial for conspiracy to commit homicide, Satanist rebel Charles Manson was observed giving a variety of Masonic hand signs, including the Masonic sign of distress. The same sign was reportedly given by Mormon founder Joseph Smith as he lay dying on the floor of an Illinois jail on a variety of criminal charges. Lying bleeding and desperate, Smith's raspy voice could be heard crying out, the plaintive Masonic wail, calling on Masons to help a brother in dire distress. Is there no help for a widow's son? Joseph Smith, no doubt, could not believe that he, a man who claimed to be God's chosen prophet, but who secretly worshipped Lucifer, he, a man of such superior intellect and endowed with the occult gift of spiritual enlightenment, was about to meet his maker, a victim of a vigilante mob who despised him. Jack Parsons, an American rocket scientist, founder of California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and priest of the OTO, was, like Mormon Joseph Smith, a premier servant of Satan and a rebel against God. He even fancied himself to be the prophesied Antichrist. Parsons wrote this chilling paragraph in his diary. He said, "And thus was I, Antichrist, loosed in the world, and to this am I pledged, that the work of the beast shall be fulfilled, and the way for the coming of Babylon to be made open, and I shall not cease nor rest until these things are accomplished." A few years after writing this, Jack Parsons was killed in an explosion in a laboratory at his home, which also served as a meeting place for other members of his satanic order. He evidently was not to become the prophesied Antichrist, a fact Parsons now knows all too well, residing as he is in some subterranean cell somewhere in place called hell. Well, I'm not quite sure that Mr. Parsons is down in hell. I think that he's probably awaiting the judgment like everybody else that's dead. But nevertheless, there's the story of the Illuminati, why they do what they're doing. Very articulate, knowledgeable, bright, intelligent people who have sold themselves to the other force, Satan the devil, for the express purpose of derailing the coming of the Messiah. They have in mind that they can defeat God himself, the creator of the universe. And there is a period of time coming, spoken of in Bible prophecy, called Jacob's Trouble, or the Great Tribulation, in which there's going to be a bloodbath, boys and girls, like we've never seen before. The Messiah said that there's nothing like it since Noah's flood. He said it's going to be worse than Noah's flood. Now, how that's possible, I'm not quite sure, but that's what he said in Matthew chapter 24. So go read him and weep, as they say, down at the Blue Room. All right, this takes us up then to chapter 3, Concealed Messages. Now, before I go on here with the further review of the Codex Magica, let me tell you where you can get a copy of it, because it's 600 pages. I just happened to flip open to page 441, and here's a beautifully staged Masonic production with each actor playing his role with adeptness, as all form a symbol. At the left is Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. In the center is President Bill Clinton, and at the right is PLO Chief Yasser Arafat. Now, Arafat and Rabin are shaking hands, and Bill Clinton is holding his arms out so that both hands are visible. The Masonic handshake is being done by Rabin and Arafat, and Bill Clinton is making a pose of a fellow Mason, all three of them here on page 441. There are 1,000 of these photographs in this book. And the author says, there might be two or three of them, they're just accidental. But he said, when you see the same hand sign being made over and over and over by different people at different times and different places, and then here's the kicker, you simply go to the Masonic textbooks. And I mentioned this a little earlier. If you were looking for one of the Masonic textbooks, you couldn't get it because you're not in the Masonic order. And here's what the Masons do. They've got a standing order. When a Mason dies and his widow, who may not be in on it, sends his books off to a used bookstore. I've got to tell you a little story. I happened to be out in Utah one day, and I was in a used bookstore, and I was, you know, puttering around, and I found this book called Morals and Dogma. I said, well, look at here. And so it had a price in it. It said $2.50. I took it up to the counter, and I said, you know, along with some other books, and I was going through them, and the owner of the store says, oh, wait a minute. This book, Morals and Dogma, he said, where'd you get this? And I said, it was back there in this pile of books over there. And he said, well, you can't have this book. And I said, why not? You got it for sale. It's in the pile. And he said, well, this is a Masonic book, and we can't sell these Masonic books. And I said, well, are you a Mason? He said, no, I'm not. But he said, I've got a contract with the local Masonic Lodge. And he said, all Masonic books are bought by the Masonic Lodge, and they pay $25 a book, irrespective of what the book's condition or anything else about it. And I said, well, then, is your interest in protecting Masonic secrets, or is your interest in this and getting the $25? And he said, well, I'm just interested in the 25 bucks. And I said, well, will you take $25 from me for it? And he says, yeah, I'll take 25 bucks from you, but not 250. I said, here's the 25 bucks, and I bought the book. Since then, I've picked up a couple more. But I'm just telling you that Mackey's book on the secrets of the lodge, they contain these secret handshakes and the secret body poses. I mean, they've got them all choreographed out. They have to teach it to all of the new members. And so the new members have to get books so that they can learn how to do this, how to do these rituals. So, well, that's all that we've done here. We simply go out and we secure, or we work hard to get a hold of one of these Masonic books so that we can double check to find out if this is true, accurate, and correct. So when I reviewed this book, Codex Magica, and remember in our ad here, I say to you, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. We check this out here at the law. And I can tell you that Tex Mars is correct, and I got it right out of Mackey's book on these hand signs. I forgot Mackey's book's name now, but I've got a copy of it over here on the shelf. Now, Morals and Dogma, his quotation from Morals and Dogma is on page 647, and I'm familiar with that quote, that when you get to the 30th degree, for all you Masons out there, if you're wondering what the search after light is you're worshiping Satan the devil. That's the ultimate secret that you're working to find out. So I just told you. Now you know. And the God of creation, now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says, I'm going to pay you suckers now to your face. Now if you want to give me the finger, be thinking about that. So I thought, well, I ought to report this to you and say, well, are you really sure that you want to do that? Now I'm not an evangelist. I'm not here telling you people you need to drop out of the Masonic order or you shouldn't join. I don't care whether you join the Masons or not. There's no skin off my back one way or the other. My job is not as an evangelist. I'm not here as a proselytizer trying to get you to join this or that or something else. My job is a reporter, and as a reporter, I report facts. You decide whether or not you want to act on those facts. In fact, that's what God himself told us in Deuteronomy 30. He said, I want you to choose now. You got a choice in front of you. Now make an intelligent choice, but you know, then once you make it, you got to live with it. Small Granny said, "Well, sweetheart, you made your bed. Now you got to go sleep in it." Now, these concealed messages, the importance of these hand signs to the Illuminati are very, very important. And it's the way they communicate with one another. And when you take a look in Mackey's handbook on the lodge, and you see how these handshakes and these body signals are accomplished, then when you see these pictures here in Codex Magica, you'll be able to see the clenched fist. That's an occultic sign. Now, it could well be that a lot of people that use this clenched fist, a lot of blacks do this, you know, black power. So this clenched fist, you know, that you see here representing black power, this goes back thousands of years. This is a Masonic sign. This is a rebellion sign. This is a sign that sticks this fist under God's nose and says, "We're not following your Ten Commandments." This thing has been around for a long time. I'm not really sure that I want to get involved with making this clenched fist sign, this occultic sign of witchcraft. Now, they've got the actual schematics here from Mackey's book. And here's rock star Ozzy Osbourne. And he lets his Masonic friends know that he's on the square with his hands and arms in a pose in USA Today on November the 29th, 2002, on page 10A. And you can't miss this Masonic sign. It comes right out of Mackey's book. So I'm here to tell you that Tex Mars is right on point when he takes this photograph. This is the exact hand sign. Here's another hand sign. This man in 1994 participated in the brutal genocide massacre of 3,000 Tutsi tribes people who sought refuge in a church in Rwanda. In this news article published in the Austin American Statesman, April 11, 2004, he says he is repentant and is rehabilitated. The cultic position of his arms and clenched fists say otherwise. And he's making an occultic sign. So the deception is this. The guy says, "Oh, I'm repentant. I'm so sorry. I made this terrible mistake." Of course, he doesn't want to pay the penalty for having been a party to the killing of 3,000 Tutsi tribesmen. Now, when they take his photograph so that he can show all of his Masonic and occultic friends, subordinates, and superiors that what he is saying is a lie. Kind of like, do you remember how our prisoners would be taken a prisoner over in Hanoi? And then they'd be photographed by the North Vietnamese. And then they would make certain signs and gestures to show that, yeah, they're making these statements, but they're being forced and they're under duress. And then they would point that out, and you could see that, yeah, this guy was making this sign. He was under duress. He was being beaten. He was being tortured into making these propaganda films. And that's what these people are doing here. And Tex Mars has done a marvelous job here of collecting these photographs. These are not accidental. This symbol, this sign that Ozzy Osbourne has given, that's not an accident. I mean, you got to pose to make that sign of on the square. Same thing with this Tutsi guy up here. Here's a Jewish actor, E.G. Marshall, who played a crusading lawyer on TV's The Defenders show in the 1960s, and he starred in many movie shows that Masonically he's on the square. He's making the same on the square Masonic sign that Ozzy Osbourne is making, which says to all of the initiates that this is one of the boys. This is one of the insiders. In fact, I was reading a story here the other day. It was Aleister Crowley. He was a Satanist and an occultist, and he was a leader in the movement. And he learned these hand signs and gestures and one thing and another. And there are other occultic groups, you know, besides being in the Rosicrucians or the OTO or the Freemasons, you may belong to some other occultic group. So he was just out practicing, and he reported that he could make these hand signs, and he would be accepted into the inner circles of these other groups, even though he was not a member of them. When you make those signs, you know, your fellow initiates, they presume that you're one of them. I remember I was in federal court one day, and then this federal judge gave me, we were shaking hands in chambers, and he gave me this very, very peculiar handshake, and this is, you know, years and years ago. I didn't know what that meant. And I reported it to one of my colleagues, and I said, you know, that Judge Clark gave me this very funny handshake over here, and he had his thumb over here on my knuckles, and he was pressing my knuckles, my third knuckle over here, and he says, that's a Masonic handshake. He's a 32nd degree Mason, and he let you know he was a 32nd degree, and he was waiting for you to signal, well, where do you stand in the order? I said, oh, well, I didn't know that. And he said, well, now he does, because you see, you didn't give him the signal back. So he knows that you're just goyim, you're just cattle. I said, oh, that's the way that works. So now you know. These handshakes are very important. These concealed messages over here are very important. So as we shall see, the Illuminati worship deity by many names and many disguises. One such name and disguise is Jabulun. See if I can remember how to pronounce this. It's spelled J-A-H-B-U-H-L-U-N. Jobulon, I believe it is. They have devised many rituals in which they employ hidden hand signs. In all the 33 degrees of Scottish Rite Masonry and in the rituals of the new, or rather the York Rite, the Order of Skull and Bones. Now I'm going to stop right here. This Order of Skull and Bones is the number one think tank and policy organization in the United States. George Bush is a member of Skull and Bones. John Kerry is a member of Skull and Bones. Now, once you join these secret fraternities, you don't just join, you know, for 5 years and then drop out. You know, once you're in for life. And as John Coleman once made an observation, says, you know, once you join the CIA or MI6, you know, you don't retire after 30 years. You're in for life. The CIA is a lifetime organization. They control you for the rest of your life. It's like MI6. Now, the Ordo Templi Orientis, that's the OTI, the Grand Orient Lodge of France, the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem, and on, in almost all of these secret societies and orders, hand signs and handshakes are very prominent. In Coyle's Masonic Encyclopedia, we read, the hand is important in Freemasonry for the purpose of giving and receiving modes of recognition. So that's what Judge Clark was doing. It was his mode of recognition. You know, where are you? Maybe you're a 33rd degree. Maybe I'm supposed to kowtow to you. Maybe you're supposed to kowtow to me. So, in the occult hand sign, in its many forms and varieties, the international secret language of the Freemasons and other covert societies. Manfred Alder, in his German language book, The Freemasons and the Vatican, says the answer to this question is yes. And he writes that according to the findings of the United States Senate Committee that investigated the Central Intelligence Agency, 90% of the secret news is transmitted by way of the media, in particular the press, with the aid of coded texts and pictures. Coded text and pictures. Notice that the Vatican is in there. They got a picture here. Tex Mars has got a picture of the Pope doing the Masonic handshake. These people in the highest echelons around the world are in the service of Satan the devil, who is the prince of the power of the air. So if you think that you're going to vote and put some particular guy into office, I think you're whistling Dixie through a straw hat. I think in the final analysis, the presidential candidates will be selected for you. Then you can pick which member of Skull and Bones you want to rule over you. Hey, we're about out of time again. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All right, we're about out of time. We'll have to leave it right here. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.